Just to make sure, Mr. Daybell and Mr. Pryor, can you hear the court okay?
Yes, Your Honor, we can. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Daybell, my name is Judge Boyce, and I'm the district judge for Fremont County, and I've been assigned to preside over your case. In a few minutes, I will arraign you on criminal charges that have been filed against you by the state of Idaho. Before doing so, I will explain what will happen at your arraignment and then advise you of your constitutional rights and plea options. If at any time you need to communicate in confidence with Mr. Pryor, please advise me and you'll be allowed to consult with him outside of the court's presence and off the record during this hearing. In this case, the state filed an information on August 17th, 2020. That document sets forth the criminal charges that have been filed against you. The information is not evidence, it's only a charge or allegation brought by the state of Idaho. Mr. Pryor, I've had indication from your counsel that you did receive a copy of the information and you have reviewed that with your attorney, Mr. Pryor. Is that correct?
Judge, Mr. Daybell has an opportunity yesterday to go over the information with me in its entirety. He had no questions. And at this time, Judge, we will waive formal reading of the information, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. Mr. Daybell, at this time, I'll go over the plea options you have in this case. The purpose of an arraignment is to have you enter a plea to the charges in the information. So at the end of the arraignment, you'll be asked to enter such a plea. In that regard, you have three options. Your first option is that you may enter a plea of not guilty. If you elect to plead not guilty, I will schedule a jury trial and a pretrial conference in your case. Also, by pleading not guilty, you will maintain all of your constitutional rights in this case, which rights were previously explained to you on June 10th at your initial appearance. Among those rights, you have the right to be presumed innocent. The presumption of innocence is a real and important right which lies at the foundation of our criminal justice system. Therefore, unless you either plead guilty at a later date or the state proves the charges against you beyond a reasonable doubt at trial, the presumption of innocence remains in your case. You also have the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of your peers, as well as the right to see, hear, confront, and have your attorney question all witnesses who may be called to testify against you. During the pendency of your case and at trial, you also have the right to be represented by an attorney. As you are in custody, you have the right to communicate with your attorney at all stages of your case, and reasonable access to communication with your attorney will be provided. At your trial, you will have the right to present evidence in your defense and the right to the subpoena power of this court to compel the attendance of witnesses to testify on your own behalf. Finally, if you plead not guilty, you will retain the right to remain silent and exercise the privilege against compulsory self-incrimination. This means that you cannot be required to testify against yourself. However, you may voluntarily take the witness stand at trial if you so choose, but you cannot be compelled to do so. If you decide not to testify on your own behalf, the prosecuting attorney can make no remarks about your failure to testify and cannot imply to the jury that exercising your constitutional right to remain silent is any indication of your guilt. Your second option you would have this morning, Mr. Daybell, is to stand silent and enter no plea at all. If you decided to do that, I would enter a plea of not guilty for you, and you would continue to maintain all of the rights I previously explained this morning. Your third option is that you may plead guilty to any or all of the charges. However, it is important that you understand that if you pled guilty, you would automatically waive your rights under the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution, as well as similar rights contained in the Idaho Constitution. In other words, if you decide to plead guilty, you will waive your right to a trial and there will be no trial. You would no longer be presumed innocent and the state would no longer have the burden of proving the case against you beyond a reasonable doubt. By pleading guilty, you would also give up your Sixth Amendment rights to confront your accusers and cross-examine any witnesses against you. You would also give up your right to offer evidence in your own behalf in response to the state's case against you. You would also waive any defenses you have to the charges contained in the information, including any claims that there is a defect in the state of Idaho's case against you or that you have been treated unfairly by the court. You would further give up your Fifth Amendment right to remain silent and the privilege against self-incrimination. If you were to plead guilty, you would also be required to testify under oath concerning the facts of the alleged offenses in this case to allow me to determine whether there is a factual basis for your plea, whether the plea is made knowingly, freely, and voluntarily, and to determine whether you fully understand the consequences of your guilty plea. Finally, you are advised that if you decide to plead guilty, any testimony that you give while under oath concerning the alleged offenses could and would likely be used against you at a later trial if I were to not accept your plea for some reason, or if you later withdraw your plea. It is very important that you understand all of the rights and options that I just explained to you. Before we go any further, Mr. Daybell, do you have any questions regarding what I've just explained, or do you need to discuss any of that with your attorney?
I have no questions.
Very well. Mr. Daybell, you were brought before this court to answer the information filed by the state, which alleges that you have committed serious crimes and that four felony charges have been filed by the state against you. You have the Sixth Amendment right to counsel at every critical stage of these proceedings, which I see you've already exercised as Mr. Pryor represents you here today. Before I allow you to respond by entering a plea to these charges in the information, I have a few questions I need to ask you. First of all, we've confirmed you can hear me okay this morning. Is that correct, Mr. Daybell?
Yes.
All right. Have you had enough time in your mind to review the information with your attorney?
Yes.
Is your name as listed in the information correctly listed?
It is, yes.
Thank you. At this time, your counsel has advised me that you would waive a formal reading of the information. Is that correct, Mr. Pryor?
It is correct, Judge.
All right, then at this time, the court will summarize the charges from the information that was filed by the state on August 17th. The information alleges in count one, the crime of destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence, a felony under Idaho Code 18-2603. That charge carries a punishment of up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000. Mr. Daybell, do you understand that charge and the possible maximum penalties?
Yes.
Count two, Mr. Daybell charges conspiracy to commit destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence. That's a felony under Idaho Code 18-2603 and also Idaho Code 18-1701. That charge also carries a punishment of up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000. Do you understand count two, the charge, and the possible penalties?
Yes.
Count three is contained in the information charges destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence, a felony under Idaho Code 18-2603. That charge also carries a punishment of up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000. Do you understand the charge in count three and the possible penalties?
Yes.
And finally, count four charges conspiracy to commit destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence. That's a felony under Idaho Code 18-2603 and 18-1701. And it also carries a punishment of up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000. Do you understand that charge and those possible penalties?
Yes.
And I'll also explain to you, Mr. Daybell, those charges or the possible penalties in each count could run either consecutively, meaning together, or they could be ordered to be served concurrently would be running together, and consecutively, meaning one would have to be served after the other was completed. At this time, Mr. Pryor, is Mr. Daybell ready to enter his plea, or do you need any additional time to discuss this with Mr. Daybell?
Judge, at this time, we are prepared to go forward for the entry of a plea. Mr. Daybell, on behalf of Mr. Daybell, we will enter a plea of not guilty to all of the charges and obviously request a pretrial and a jury trial, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Pryor, the not guilty pleas will be entered as to counts 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the information. With that then, counsel, let's discuss the time for setting of a trial in this case. We did have a brief discussion prior to the hearing. There was a suggestion that we look at January for a date for trial. Mr. Wood, how many days of trial would the state be requesting in this matter?
Your Honor, I think we should probably plan on, as we've discussed, about 3 weeks for this trial.
Mr. Pryor, your thoughts from the defense on how many days we'd need for trial?
Judge, as we previously discussed, I anticipate at least 3 weeks will be needed in this matter.
we could schedule trial to commence on January 11th through January 29th.
That's acceptable to the defense, Your Honor.
And that works for the state.
There is one federal holiday during that time period on the 18th. So that would have you losing one day. Is that still sufficient time, do you think, Mr. Wood?
I think that would work, Your Honor. I think we can figure that out.
All right. Any concerns with that, Mr. Pryor?
No concerns, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. We'll set the trial then to commence Monday, January 11th. Council will intend to conduct full trial days. I won't be having any other hearings scheduled during the time of the trial. Just for planning purposes, we typically will run a trial to start every day at 9 o'clock and go until 5 o'clock with a lunch break. Let's schedule a pretrial conference then. December 10th at 10:30 a.m.
Works for the defense, Your Honor. Thank you.
It's fine for the state.
All right, we'll send out the notice of trial setting. Mr. Wood, is there anything further from the state this morning on this matter?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Very well. Mr. Pryor, anything further?
Not at this time. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, counsel will send that notice out. And if there is nothing else, then I appreciate your attendance and preparedness this morning, and we will be in recess.
Thank you.